You know, this morning, I got here this morning, and I always like to finish my sermon on Sunday morning. I do it every Sunday morning. I get here early, and I like to finish it here because I always say I want it fresh in me too. Yeah, because if I finish my sermon by Tuesday, by Sunday to change. That's just the way it is. So I got here, and I sat down to do it, and I left all my notes at home. My notes are usually not home. They're usually in the office but I decided I'll take them with me so I could work some more on it, and I took them, and then I called Jill. I said, Jill, would you go by the bedside at the table there by the bed, and would you send me those pink pieces of paper you see? And she gone to look for it, and she says, I don't see any. Because, you know, I was going to think she'll take a quick picture, send it to me. And then I said, Lord, help me. Because that's all my notes. Well, I said, okay. I didn't fuss or fight. I didn't even go, Jesus, I don't know what to do. And so I started all over again. And I look at the time and I said, Jesus, help me. And by the time you guys need to get here, I opened my wallet. And where's the little pieces of notes? They're in my wallet. Now I'm going, now I don't have them organized at all. So we'll see what happens. But but God is good. God is good. Now, one of the things, as we were singing this morning, I always look at some of these songs, and sometimes I really wonder, and because when I sing the song, if I am not going to really believe what I'm singing, I don't sing it. There's a song out there that I don't sing. Through the Storm. What's the storm? The guy sings his testimony, in my opinion, and then he gets to a spot and he says, even though the Lord takes his child away, I don't sing that song. Because guess what? I don't want the Lord to take my child away. You know, I just don't sing it. All right? Because why? When I sing a song, I want to believe it and I want to grab hold of it and I want it to be part of my life. Letting go of every single dream. I think everybody was singing that this morning, right? But I want to ask you a question. In singing that, were you really doing that? Letting go of every single dream. You know, we have to to really serve God. In fact, we start a little thing in the youth. I'm using a book called Follow Me. And when Jesus says, follow me, he means to exchange your life for his life. You have to let go of everything. You can't serve Jesus holding on to anything. You have to let go. Oh, they keep, you know, I'm wondering what Ruby was trying to do over there. But she was saying, let the kids go. Kids, you can go. I thought so too. All right, the kids can go. No, I lost my train of my thought. Yeah, you have to let everything go, and it's I lost it. Then the next song. So I'll just move on to the next song. Then the next song said. Let me see, find it. Which one was it? Where is it? If you don't move the mountain. Same song? Yes. All right, let me find it. Chorus. When you don't move the mountain, I need you to move. When you don't part the water, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answer as I cry out to you, I will trust. I will trust in you. And I'm singing that, and the thing that's going through my mind is how many of us this morning really making that a part of our lives. Let me tell you, have you ever had a mountain you want move and it didn't move? How do you look at God then? Did you have something that you wanted to see God just open the way so you could just walk through it and he didn't? How do you look at God then? Or have you been crying to God and there's nothing, you can't hear nothing, you can't see nothing? Do you say, Lord, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. There's a song that says, when I can't see his hands, I'll trust his heart. I want us to trust in God. I had one time, I had this, I don't know, it attached to my computer. And I really liked it. So the thing, it prints pictures. You don't have to go down to Walmart. You just buy it and it prints, I think it's 4x8 or whatever they call it. But when I bought a new computer, guess what happened? Doesn't support it at all. You go online, you look for drivers, guess what? It doesn't have any drivers at all. In order for it to work, I have to go find a merchandise just like that that is going to work with that computer. Not only that, just the other day, not too long ago, there are certain Windows that are not supported anymore. You can't buy a computer today, a new computer, and say, well, I like Windows 95. And I'm going to put Windows 95 on it. It's not going to work. When Jesus comes on the scene, what has to happen is he comes to give us new life. He comes to change us because the old not going to work. You just can't plug in the old to the new and expect it to work. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The day will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast. No one put a piece of unshrink cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skin bursts, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. I bought a computer one time. No, I wanted to buy a computer. So I went down, and I didn't go and order it from Dell. You know, you could go down and you just get a Dell computer. Dell put it together, everything in it's working fine. Well, they built this one. This one was built. They got components from different places because you know how we are. We want the best of everything, most of us. So I didn't think that computer that Dell sold already put together had the processor that I want, had the, what's the card that showed the monitor? VGA card as I want. So I wanted the best. So guess the computer was made. Do you know I had problems with that thing from day one until I got rid of it? Everything just did not seem to match up together because I was taking components from all over. But if I had take up the phone and called Dell and I got the one that they had have all the components that work with that machine, I would have been well better off. When we come to Jesus, we could only operate perfectly when we are going by His will and His way and His will and His way alone. Now, I read up and find out what was the big deal. Why did the Pharisees thought that the disciples was Jesus' disciples wasn't fasting? Well, you have to go back to early in Matthew. We talked about when they were meeting. Jesus said, you know, you all fast, you tear your clothes up, you look all dreary, and everybody know you're fasting. You have a frown on your face, but he said, when you fast, he said, don't do that. Wash your face. Put on some perfume. Smell good. Have a smile on your face. Don't let even them know that you're fasting. Well, what was happening in the Jewish history, as I researched, they really only fasted one time a year. They fasted, let me see if I wrote it down. Fasted, for instance, in the legitimate spiritual discipline, according to biblical law, the Jews are required to fast only one time a year on the Day of Atonement. Pharisees, however, extended and over-exercised the law until they demanded that people fast 2 days a week, which was Monday and Thursdays, according to my research. So, and the reason they did that because they wanted to get ready for the Messiah. They wanted to get ready because they felt that Jesus, when the Messiah comes, he's coming for God's people who are ready. And they were wondering why Jesus' disciples wasn't getting ready. And they were fasting for the sins of Israel and looking forward for the coming of the king. And here, John's disciples and the Pharisees were doing this. And when Jesus came on the scene, this new teacher came on the scene, he was not doing that. And they come and they ask, why? And Jesus' response was, can the wedding guests moan as long as the bridegroom are with them? Number one, Jesus is saying, I am here. He said, can they fast when the bridegroom? What he's saying is, I am here. There is no fasting needed. In fact, if I understand the wedding, how it took place, you know that after the bride and the groom marry, you know they didn't do like we do? You know, they jump in that car with cans in the back and going down the street just married, and the guy is in, the only thing in the guy's head is the wedding night is coming. You know what they did? The bride and the groom stay around, and for a week they were celebrating with joy. And what Jesus is saying, look, when the bridegroom is here, there is no time for mourning. There's just time for rejoicing. Arise, shine, for the light has come. You know, it was time for them to rejoice, but they could not see Jesus. They did not understand that Jesus was saying, all that you are preparing for and all that you are looking for is here. I wonder how many of us this morning are looking to see Jesus manifest himself in great power when he already did. Jesus says this is a time to rejoice, not a time to mourn. And the second thing he said to them, I am going. I'm not only here, but I'm going. He said, the day will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. He says, while I'm here, they have no reason to fast, but I am here. The Messiah is here. The virgin birth has taken place. God in the flesh is here. But there's coming a time that I will walk the Calvary road. I will pick up the cross. I will hang on the cross for your sins. I will go, and they will have to fast. He said, I'm here, but I'm going. Because I came for a purpose. And then he says to them, you must be born again. You must be born again. He said, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will tear away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is a new wine put into old wineskins. What he's saying here, when I did not come to do a patch job, you know, I don't know about you, but growing up, if you're in a family that you can't afford much and you get a hole, they would do a patch job. I don't know if you all ever see a patch job. And they used to love to do it with the jeans. And what they would do, they would patch it from the inside, you know, the jeans. But, you know, before they patch it, you know what they would do? They would wash the fabric they're going to patch, because they want to make sure that when they wash them both together, it doesn't come apart. See, some of us wish that Jesus came to do a patch job. Did you have anything you ever like and you just didn't want to get rid of it? It got a hole, but you're wearing it anyway. You just don't want to get rid of it. You just like how it feels. It fit right. See, the Pharisees liked how it feel. To them, it fit right. But what Jesus is saying, he didn't come to do a patchwork. He came to give you new life. And Jesus didn't come just to pour into the old, but he came to make you new again and pour into you. The old has gone, the new has come. You must be born again. There is no way you could embrace the new message of salvation by holding on to the old. Come, follow me, he told the disciples. And what we're saying is, you have to give your life away, forget about your life, and embrace the one I have for you. And guess what? Jesus does such a great transformation in our lives that when he pours in the new oil and the wine, guess what? As the Holy Spirit expands, we're not going to break. We're not going to expand to such a place that we are destroyed. But we would grow together in grace. You know, the enemy will use any means to bring division among God's people. Do you all realize that? He would use anything he can to bring division among God's people. And way back then, he was trying to use fasting as a way to divide God's people. Why? Because one really believed that fasting is the way, and it needs to be done twice a week. And Jesus comes on the scene and they're not fasting at all. John chapter 3 and verse 26. John 3 and verse 26. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive any one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourself bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. I pray that we as believers would realize that Jesus came to make us new, to make us able to have joy, and a complete joy. Why? Because he just don't patch us up. He transforms us. He makes us new, so that what he has for us, guess what? We can hold it. And as he works in us, we can expand with it. So that when he don't move the mountain and we think he should move, we should know that he's in us. And our joy is complete. That when the waters don't open up and you could go through it, we can know that Jesus is with us and we can do it, because we will never expand so much that we will be destroyed. So here is what I believe that all of us should do. We should let go of every single dream and lay each one of them at his feet. And allow Jesus to do what he's doing in us and through us. Because the Bible says the old things have gone and the new has come. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. I'm happy. I rejoice. Don't matter what. Why? Because I'm complete with him, and what he has poured into me, I'm able to withstand. Because I'm a new wineskin. Because he didn't just patch me up. He made me new. If you're here this morning and you feel like you're not that new wineskin to receive what all that God has for you, it is simple. Today is the day of salvation. I still remember the day I gave my heart to the Lord. I can't tell you the December 5th. I can't tell you that, but I remember the day like if it was yesterday. It was the evening, around 5 or 6 o'clock, walking through the marketplace, and somebody's preaching. I can't remember who even was preaching. Don't remember even which church it was. And for some reason, I stopped and listened, and I realized that I have offended God, and God had a plan for my life. And I walked down to that altar. I asked God to forgive me of my sins. And I received what Christ did for me on the cross. And that day, he made me a new wineskin. Let us pray.